Hallelujah. Now, how to have permanent church members? We need to have permanent non-migratory church members. Members who do not migrate. Amen? Members who do not leave and are permanent. So, again, Luke 8, verse 12. You know, this is something I preach in church on Sunday. Yes. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word. So the devil wants to take away the word in the town where you are preaching. And in the church, he wants you not to preach how to have permanent church members. That is what he wants. He doesn't want you to preach about how to have permanent church members. He wants you never to mention such a thing. Never say that thing here. Because it's not a small message. It's a message that will stabilize people. If I was running a bank, I would want to have permanent customers. Right. One day I went to the bank and the bank did not treat us well. And I thought to myself, you bank. We have kept our money here. We come. We always bring our things here. Look at how you are behaving. And I said, look, I've seen some new banks. I'm taking everything there. And I moved away. Yeah. Now that bank does not exist. Yeah. It's not one of the collapsed banks. Don't be thinking about it. But it does not exist. I don't want to mention names. They could have had me as a permanent member. And my church and all my churches. And all my children, so this is it. But so even for the banks and every business, even a political party, they wish they would have permanent voters. But they know that we are all floating. We now have three main groups. Those who vote for NPP, those who vote for NDC, and those who don't vote. Yeah. These are the three main groups. Those who vote for NPP, those who vote for NDC, and those who won't bother to vote. Because it's the same thing. Hey! So in the church, we are going to have permanent members. How will we have permanent members? How? By teaching the people to be permanent. Yes. You yourself must be permanent and you teach people how that they should be permanent. You teach them that it makes more sense to be permanent than to be roaming around. Yes. It makes what? More sense to be permanent than to be roaming around. It doesn't make sense to here today, tomorrow you are gone, here today, tomorrow you are gone. Are you still around? Why does it make more sense? Ask your neighbor, Charlie, why does it make more sense to be a permanent member? Why? We want to know why. Number one, because you are part of a family. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Ephesians 3 and verse 15. Families are families, whether you are even seen or not. Now, how many of you are, my name is Heward Mills. How many of you have ever seen, do you see anybody called Heward Mills around? Hardly you not see any Heward Mills, maybe apart from my own family. That's my wife and children. Hardly would you see anybody. I'm Heward Mills. You think they are not in that? It's a very big family. Even though I don't see them, I'm still part of Heward Mills. By now, I could say, these people, when my crisis came, I never saw them. When Kolegono was attacked, I never saw in Heward Mills. Even this and that. When my son was getting married, and also when I was getting married, I didn't see them. And it's true. They see them. But I'm still. Yeah, this is a family. I can't easily change my name. You are part of the family. Yeah. So when you are a member of UD, whether you are in First Love or Kodesh Family Church or Lighthouse Chapel International, or you're a member of Mission Jesus Kigeri International, or whether you are a member of, we have a new denomination that is about to be launched called Greater Love Church. Yeah. Yeah, another one is coming up. Yeah. Or Shepherd House International, Loyalty House International, Mega Church, Anakazu Assembly, any of the denominations. Huh? Mustard Seed. Different denominations. It is still a family. Yeah. You can't easily change your family. It's when you are young that you think you can change your family. As you grow, you realize that the blood is in you. The what? Blood. The blood. It's in the blood. It's in the DNA. It's in the genes. It's in the blood. You know, one guy, he decided to orangulize. And he took the church away. So we went to recover the remnant that we could get. So then when they went to their new place, I mean just around the area, and they had their first service, and then they closed. At the first or second, one of the services. Then they closed. Then they said, let's share the grace. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion, fellowship. Well, you have changed the name. You see that the thing is in the blood. It was in the blood. They shared the same grace. Then they said, okay, we'll keep it like that for some time. We'll keep it for now. Because you are sharing the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of communion, fellowship, contribution, participation, all these words. The same thing. Yes. Many people have left the church. They still use my books to preach and to teach. Yes. They go to the website. They some are even watching as I'm preaching now. It's in the blood. Your family is in your blood. That's why I don't curse them. Yes. I don't curse. If you leave, I will not curse you. Yes. Yes. Yes, I don't curse. No. Jesus didn't even curse Judas. Wow. Yes. Even Judas, he didn't curse him. How much more somebody who is living? They are family members. Only that we have had some misunderstanding. Yeah. So, you must grow and know that a family is a permanent thing, and the Bible calls and describes the church as a family. Yes. So when somebody wants to take you away, even the person wants to marry you out, you have to say, my brother, think about it very carefully. Very carefully, because my family's blood is deep inside me. Yeah. Yes. You know, there are some tribes that are very close, and you can see that, I mean, it's in the blood. That's how we are. We are like that too. a spiritual version of that thing. So tell somebody, you're my brother, you're my sister,
so take me by the hand.
Stand up.
Together we will work till he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we walk in side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes.
There's no foe that can defeat us when we walk in side by side. As long as there's the love, we will stand.
You're my brother, you're my sister,
so take me by the hand. Together we will read it and sing it, please. There's no foe that can defeat us when we walk in side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand.
Brother,
you're my sister, so take me. Hold your neighbor's hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we walk in side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. So take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe,
no
foe that can defeat us when we walk in side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. And you're my brother.
Say to somebody,
you're my brother. So take me by the hand. Together we will work till he comes.
Hey.
There's no foe that can defeat us when we walk in side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand.
Hallelujah.
Sit down. You are part of a family. Number two, you are part of a building. I mean, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, you are part of a building. He says you are laborers together. You are God's husbandry. And you are God's building. When you are God's building, when you are part of a building, you can't walk away. Can you imagine if this pillar says, Charlie, I want to join a pillar in a Kropong town. Will you be happy with it? It's fatalistic. So don't think in that way. Can you imagine if you go home and your kitchen has decided to move to another area? Or all your toilets had a meeting and said, we toilets are not happy to stay here again. We toilets had a meeting. They said that you have been flushing. What has been coming smelling too much. We can't take it any longer. You have to change your diet. We are moving to another area. And all the toilets have left the house. Hey! So even if you are the toilet of a church, you are permanent. Yes. I said even if you are the toilet of a church, you are permanent. What about what beer? What about whoops? We know what we want. We are part of a family. Yes. Yes. We know what we want. You can't get up and say, I am a kitchen. Every day, you bring bloody animals and other blood things. And I don't get, I mean, really nice things to happen here. Always cooking crabs here. I want to be a sitting room. I want to be a living room. I want to have curtains. There are no curtains in the kitchen. If I move to another house, I will have curtains. Curtains in the kitchen. Do we have curtains in the kitchen? We have only coal pots. No stove. So you are moving. Others will treat me better. Since I became the kitchen, you have never invested in the kitchen. There's no microwave here. There's no oven here. Only this old fridge. Repair every day. There's no investment here. I'm going to another house. I'm moving to Trasaco Valley. At Trasaco Valley, I hear kitchens are very happy at Trasaco Valley. Does it not sound strange? I'm the baller of my house. There will always be a baller. When I go to another place, I'm a baller. I will be treated as a European baller. Bluffer baller. Now, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 3:9, you, look at it, you are God's building. You are God's building. You are God's building. You are, God builds you. He builds you in to the building. There's no going anywhere. Rather, if there's a problem with the kitchen, let's agree to renovate it. You can't say you are moving to Trasaco Valley. This is not possible. Every day they are cooking fish in this place. I want a place where they use meat. Pork. Are you with me? So tell somebody, you can't go anywhere. You are part of a family. And you are part of God's building. God's building. It's in the blood. Number three, you are part of a garden. You are part of a garden. Or you are part of a farm. You are God's husbandry. If you change the version, you are God's field. This one says you are God's field. Change the version again. You are God's field. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard, which is a garden. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge. It shall be eaten up and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. All right? So when you are part of a garden, you can see God says, I'll tell you what I'll do to my garden. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says, you are God's husbandry, which is like God's farm or God's field. The word husbandry is like farm. Now, when you take out a tree or you take out a plant, usually it stops growing. Yes. So it's in your interest to just stay coolly in that garden. So today, God is showing you that you are part of a garden that He has planted. Maybe you are even the hedge. Maybe you are a particular flower. You don't just uproot things. Yes, unless you are mad. Ask your neighbor, are you mad? Now, you are precious. You are intentionally planted by God. Intentionally. Now, when you go through, the campus, there are trees that were intentionally planted by some people. If you go through, you'll see trees at different places. Many of the things here were intentionally planted. How many remember some time ago we used to have cows? Some cows. Some of you came here. Rambo cows. Yeah. Now, one day I came here and there was some plants that I had planted. Intentionally. Very beautiful. I was so proud of those plants. And the cows went there and ate all. Now, the person who was in charge of the construction said that when Bishop sees this one, that will be the end of the cows. So they hid it from me for some time. But one day I went there and I said, what? The cows have eaten and left only the stems. Immediately I lifted my hand and I said, that's the end of the cows. Eat them now. And I gave a command that all should be eaten. And all of them died for that tree, that plant that they went to. All of them died. I gave them to different people. I said, eat. The students made kebabs. People's weddings, they ate them. They were eating all because of the plants. You see, plants are not accidentally put in places. God has intentionally put you in UD, in Lighthouse, in Mega Church. It's an intentional planting of the Lord. Any cow which comes to eat you will be surprised that he can pay for with his life for trying to take you out. The planting of the Lord. The planting of the Lord. Yes. The planting of the Lord. Yes. And the cows, all of them were eaten. Though not even one was left. I stood there, I said, I can't believe it. So God has put every person specially in the church. Now, if you are in your church and you don't tell your people that they are specially planted in the church by God, they can easily get up and say, oh, we are going to the next garden because we don't have any special reason to be here. Other places, they water them more than here. Wow. I hear that our colleagues who are on that side, they are green, we are brown. But we have not been getting enough fertilizer. Are you listening to me? Yes. So I want you to have in mind that you are specially, permanently planted. And you are going to cause a great problem is going to come if somebody tries to extract you from where God has put you in the garden. Try and move the person next to you and see whether he can be moved from. Don't allow any cow to move you from the garden. Those at the back. You see now, you are all sitting down. I say, move somebody. Let's see whether somebody can move you. Number four. You are part of a tree. That is why you are permanent. Amen. You are part of a tree. That is why you are permanent. John chapter 15. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nada. All right? Amen. You are part of a tree. So we don't just cut branches. You have to be careful, you know. In Rwanda, I believe you need a permit to cut a tree. Yes, you can't. Huh? One tree is $1,000 in the country. You can't just cut trees. Somebody once came to my house and saw a tree. And he said to me, if you were in America, this tree, there was only one tree in the house. He said, this tree alone would increase the value of your house by $10,000. That's what he told me. He said, if you were in America, this tree would increase the value of your house by $10,000. So, you are part of it. And you see sometimes that people just come and shave the tree. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you are part of a tree, you don't easily disconnect from a tree and go and join to another tree. You look carefully and say, this is where I am. And when you are the fruit, you don't question the tree that bore you and say that, look at this person who bore me. That's what they were doing to Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 3. They were questioning his authority. So Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. You are part of a tree. Once you are a branch, so Jesus is the vine. The primary branches are the apostles and prophets. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The secondary branches are the other ministers, like pastors, teachers, and so on. And the tertiary branches branches are members. So Jesus is the vine and the primary branches. That's why the letters of the apostles and the teachings of apostles are very close to the teachings of the Lord. That's why you have to be devoted to the apostles' teachings. And you see that out of that come secondary branches like Timothy and so on, who have to listen, my son Timothy, to my words coming from the primary branches. And then you have the tertiary branches, which are the members of the church. Amen. Is it fantastic? Yes. So you don't just disconnect and start flying through the air and say, I'm going to another tree in Canada. Not like that. That is why joining another tree is called grafting. It's like a very special thing that is unusual and miraculous. It's miraculous for you ever to break off from a branch, a tree, and ever do well again. Yes. You see, many people who broke off, they don't do well. They haven't done well. Yes. They haven't done. Sometimes it looks like they are doing well for a season. Yes. But at a point, you see, it's turning to nothing. Over the years, I've watched people leave, come, go, leave different people, different churches. I watched them. Rarely can you do well if it is that you are part of this tree and you leave. It's rare that you do well. Even if you are not doing well here, when you leave, you are likely to do far worse. I mean, I didn't write the Bible, and then you also have a brain. So think about it and analyze what I'm saying. If you have a branch of a tree and you are disconnected, are you likely to do well? I mean, just logically. This one, even up to class 4, class 3 and class 4 can understand it. Check your neighbor whether he's been to class 3. Ask the neighbor, have you been up to class 3? Then this part of the message you can understand. Is it understandable? Yes. Now, What is the first reason why you must be a permanent member? I can't hear you. You are part of a family, number two. You are part of a building, number three. You are part of a garden, number four. Part of a tree, number five. You will flourish when you are permanently planted. You flourish and you do well. Yes. Psalm 92 verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall do what?
Flourish.
Shall do what?
Flourish.
Plant well and flourish means you do well. I've been planted in Lighthouse since I came here. And I'm permanently planted by the grace of God. It makes you flourish. May you also be permanently planted. And may you be flourish. Number six. You can invest freely when you are permanent. Amen. Now, if you know that you are permanent, you can invest freely. Because you feel happy that this is something I'm doing permanently. When you are not permanently part of something, you don't feel free to put everything in. Because you know that, oh, me now, I'll be leaving. I'll be leaving, so when I give all my all. Mercy. Jolene, mercy. Jolene, mercy. Look at all the singers. Ida, I knew her when she was in the university. Singing, first year. Many years ago. There are people that we've taught how to sing. Taught them to do this. They are not around. What is the use? What is the point? And a person knows everything, then a person is gone. So, you when you said, oh, you'll be leaving soon. Oh, okay. Next meeting, please. The next group should come in. Yes. So those who are permanent, you can invest freely. So when you tell somebody, stay permanently, then you feel free and give it all your best. Yeah. Pour everything you can into this place because you are here for life. Amen?
Amen.
Number, how many numbers do you have?
Six.
Six. Number seven, you have a family to celebrate your victories with.
Wow.
When you are permanent, you have a family to celebrate your victories. Yes, a series of victories. Amen. Your series of victories. When is your wedding? When Bishop Patrick and Sister Joyce children were getting married, we were all there to celebrate a great thing. The same people. We have some people to celebrate with. Let's all be happy. Our child is getting married. When Pastor Harold's daughter was getting married, we were all there to celebrate. Yes and yes. All of them were playing in the church. It's a joy for all of us. If you are there, they are all your children. They are all the same children of all of us. Is it not amazing?
Amazing.
Yeah. When there's sadness, the same people are all sad together. There's somebody to be sad with. But I realize that when somebody is dead and you don't know the person, you hear so and so, they say, hey, oh, he was very close to me. It was my first cousin, my second relative, my third sister. Say, hey, okay. You don't have any feelings.
Yeah, no feelings.
But those who know the person and who are part of it, they say, what? So there is somebody, a family to celebrate with and to be with in every season of your life. Hallelujah. Now, you know, because you are used to the church, you don't understand my message till you go outside the church. One day I saw a funeral. The person was not in the church. Even tributes. There's nothing to say. And nobody had anything to say. Nobody to attend. That's when you see that. When you are part of something, as the years go by, wow, you see that having a family is an amazing thing. See, you will not know. Amen. Number 8, you see the fruit of your labor. Amen. You see the fruit of your labor. Amen. What is the fruit of your labor? All those who've been part of the church, you see, you are seen an akazu. Bible center practically. You see the churches, you see the bishops, you see the children growing up. The fruit of your labor. So permanence makes you to see the fruit of your labor. And number 9, you avoid the deception of short relationships. Yeah. Every new person is nice. Yes, every new person you see is nice. Those who are married, when you see a new person, say, hey, look at a nice girl. If I had waited, I would have seen this one. Today, fine, pa. Look, every new thing is nice. Have you not noticed that a new car is nice, a new house is nice, a new, but you see, the new one will become old just now. Yes. And a new person who sees you is more polite, speaking briskly, clearly, humbly, smiling. It's new. That is why it's nice. Faultless. Olé. You may never know limited. It's a real company. So when you are a permanent member, you avoid, this is something, a new person has come, you go and join, then you have this relationships based on deception.
Yeah.
Yes. So the permanent people, that is it. If the pastor is deceiving you by now, you may know. Yeah. If the member is deceiving you by now, you may know. Yes. If you are going to marry this person, by now you may know. Because he's a permanent member who has been around for some time. So one of the questions we ask, how long has she been around?
That's right.
A certain brother went and married a certain sister. It's a true story. Now, the wedding was on Saturday. And then on Sunday, they came to church. So when they came to church, the bridegroom, he said, I want to see you, pastor. Apart from everything, I need to see you. So he went to see the pastor. And he said, pastor, no, 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 no. He said, no, 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 as what? He said, no, 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 no. No, 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 is what? He said, no, no, no. As what is what? He said, the girl I've married is a very bad girl. He said, how do you know? Then he said something which I will not say in the microphone. No, no, I can't say it in the microphone. Maybe after, but I can't say it. I can't say it. He said, what she did to me. What she did to me. He said, I said, my God. This is a very, very bad girl. She knows things. She knows things. And you see, me, I don't struggle to say things in the microphone, but this one I cannot say it in the microphone. Yes. So, deception of short relationships. It's not after you are married that you are coming to say so and so is what. You just see the person, Charlie, oh, you're beautiful. Look at the hips like Mount Afajato. You cannot follow that. Hallelujah. Number 10. You will be rewarded for your faithfulness. Well done, good and constant servant. And then, number 11, you have consistent pastoral care. Yes. Because you have consistent pastoral care. It's not about you are not coming to, you know, especially when it comes to marriage counseling. You know that marriage is, every marriage has a jury. Every marriage has what? A jury. The jury are the best person, the best group to judge the marriage. Yes. What do I mean? If you have a couple in the church, there will be about 6 or 7 mature people who know the couple. And over the years, it's not so easy to hide how your marriage is. And both the boys and the girls. So you soon know whose fault it is. When if it's an IMC that is not working. Yes. But initially, people always assume that it's the man. He's chasing other girls or he has seen something else. Yes. They just assume that the man is some way. But I don't preach that message. Yes. I preach the opposite in the church. It's more from the marriage problems with pastors. It's more from the lady. Most of the time. I notice. In the world, or in non-serious Christian, it usually is the man. Yeah. It's not either here. It's either here or here. Depend on which side. Because the balance of power changes. Yes. The balance of power changes. You see, when somebody is a potential beloved, Obana le sweet. Smiling. You can't even imagine that she doesn't bath. No, seriously, you can't imagine it. When you see the people in the church, you can't imagine that she will not bath. Or that she doesn't like bathing. Coming and be a dancing star, sweating, jumping, doing. When they go and sleep without bathing. Beautiful, but when she goes home, she's sleeping in her jeans. She's sleeping in her jeans. The jeans that she has been with the trot, she has gone around the whole world. Dancing, sweating, wee-weed about 7 times that day. And poo-poo twice. You think I don't know things? You think I don't know things? Yes. So, consistent pastoral care comes because after some time, there's something like a jury. Something like a jury. Everybody knows the man, they know the woman, they know the man. We have this beast, and the second beast came, and the third beast came before you over the years. One day there was a brother, he said he was leaving. I said, oh, me, I have never spoken to this couple before. So I called about 6 different people who have known them over at least 5 years. Every one of them said, it is in the interest of this brother to live there. Yes, so the jury. Females and males, mostly even females. I said, the man, it is in his life's interest to live. And the verse is Luke 18:29. I say unto you, there is no man that has left his house, living of parents, living of brethren, or living of wife. Leaving his wife. Leave your wife or children for the kingdom's sake. That will get what? Verse 30. He will get a reward. So in some cases, you even get a reward for living. Not that it's a sin. You will get even a reward for leaving that wife for the kingdom's sake. And you will get a reward on earth for having taken such a decision. And number two, in the world, you get everlasting life for that living. Luke 18. Please don't believe anything I say. It's not in the Bible. Look, go by the Bible. Yes. But over the years, that's where you get a jury. But initially, when you come in contact, God, you see, he that pleadeth his case, his cause first sounded just. So whoever you see first will always look like the good person. That's what the Bible says. He who pleads his cause first sounds just. And looks softer, nicer, and explain. Me. God knows. But the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Yes, the pavement is good intentions, but it's leading to hell. Judas probably had good intentions, maybe when he was betraying, or at least we all know that he did not really want Jesus to die. We all know that. He took the money back. Bible says he repented. He went back, he threw the money at the people. Bible says when he saw that he had betrayed innocent, he said, no, I never intended for this. When he saw that they were going to kill him, he said, no. I never, some people even propose. Look at it, Matthew 27. Some people propose. When Judas betrayed him, he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought in 30 pieces of silver. When he saw, he said, no. Look at verse 1. Matthew 27. And the morning was come. You see, they finished. When we go to Israel, I will take you on from the, from where he was arrested, he was taken to the chief priest's house. So we'll go to the chief priest's house. So when the morning was come, the elders took counsel to put him to death by the morning. This was in the night. It's estimated that he was in the gardens at about midnight. And he was taken there. So the trial was done in the night. But the Romans will not be awake in the night. So in the morning, look at it. Verse 2. When the morning came, so they bound him and led him to Pontius Pilate's house. So we will go to the chief priest's house. Then from there, we will go to Pilate, where Pilate was. We go on the journeys from Garden of Gethsemane to the Kidron Valley to Caiaphas' house, the chief priest's house. From there, we go to Pontius Pilate's place. Yeah. Then verse 3. Then Judas saw that the thing had escalated. Yes. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So it's not what you intended. You say, me, I never intended for Jesus, but you still killed him. So you may not intend, but that's what you've done. Yes. So most people, yes. Most people would say things, but when you have consistent pastoral care, you start to know the realities, what you are dealing with. And that is where you can have, and you see somebody, for six people to say that it's the, in the interest of this brother to leave this wife as soon as possible. Luke 18:29. Challenge me, then challenge the word. Challenge me or challenge the word. Yes. Yes. Challenge me, you challenge the word. Criticize me, you criticize the word. Criticize Jesus. When will this scripture be applied? When will it be applied? In which section? There are some people that must be left for the ministry to go on, for the kingdom's sake. Children, parents, everything. Houses must be left, including wives must also be left, some of them. It's not a license to divorce. No. But there are circumstances that you see. The jury. What is the jury? The jury are those who have been permanently around. You see everything. And you see somebody. The person has married. Even before the marriage, you see the trouble. But after the marriage, you say, within 4 weeks, you can't even believe what is going on. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Escalating. I've seen so many, the word escapes me. Emasculated men. Ministers. Emasculated. What does the meaning of emasculate? Yes. To deprive of strength. Emasculate. How do you spell it? Emascu. Emasculate. Your problem was you didn't know how to spell it. To deprive of strength.
Or vigor.
To weaken.
To castrate.
To be made ineffective. So I've seen many ministers made without strength and weakened, neutralized, made ineffective. Yes. So challenge me, challenge. Don't be angry with me. I'll be angry with Jesus. Yes. So consistent pastoral care will let you see clearly what is going on. And sometimes it's so clear. This man is a beast. Or sometimes it's so clear that this is completely a Jezebel that has been married. Yeah. So anyway, permanent membership has a lot of advantages. And one of them is this. Now we move to the secret of industrialization. What are the reasons why you must have permanent members? Number one, you are part of. Number two, you are part of a building. Number three, part of a garden. Number four, you are part of a tree. Number five, you flourish. Number six, you can invest freely. Number seven, you have what? A family to celebrate your victories with. Number eight, you see the fruit of your labor. Number nine, you avoid the deception of short relationships. Number 10, you'll be rewarded for your faithfulness. And number 11, you have consistent pastoral care. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, take out an offering. We are going to take a break before we continue our morning session. Just a short while, and then we'll be coming to the end of our morning session. All right? Let's pray over your offering. Oh God, thank you for another opportunity to give and to finance this program and to bless your church. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. What song do you want Ida to sing for you? All right. Shh. I've heard all your suggestions. Thank you.
Was a Christian in attending church, and I believed I truly loved the Lord. But there was a day I went to church, and the preacher spoke to me. He said, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my words, my commands, listen to my voice. Jesus really needs to know, how deep is your love? Is your love, how deep is your love? He really needs to know that you're willing to surrender all of your life, do his will and his command. That's the least that you can do. Da 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 da. Oh, greater love hath no man than this, that a man should give his life for you. Do you love the Lord like he loves you? Do you really wanna do his will? What will you give in return for his love? Will you yield and obey, or just walk away? Jesus really needs to know, how deep is your love? Is your love, how deep is your love? He really needs to know that you're willing to surrender all of your life, do his will and his command. That's the least that you can do. Da, 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 da. Oh, one day Jesus turned to Peter and said, I wanna know if you really love me. Simon Peter turned to him and said, oh my Lord, why do you even ask? 'Cause you know, dear Lord, how I love you. I will keep your command, I will feed your sheep. Jesus asking you the same. How deep is your love? Is your love? How deep is your love? He really needs to know that you're willing to surrender all of your life, do his will and his command. That's the least that you can. If you hear his voice in your heart today, do not harden your heart, do not turn away. That's the only way you show how deep is your love, your love. How deep is your love? He really needs to know that you're willing to surrender all of your life, do his will and his command. That's the least that you can do. Da 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 da. Oh, how deep is your love? Is your love, how deep is your love? He really needs to know that you're willing to surrender all of your life, do his will and his command. That's the least.